Welcome to Raw, October 2nd. we have the Pepsi Center in Denver, Colorado. It's the Reigns Intercontinental Championship. We have Enzo, he's a rebel with a clause, and Rollins versus Braun Strowman.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
And Mickey James, y'all. This happened.
She's not too old for us.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, that was wrong. That was wrong how they treated some Mickey
wrong.
James. That was real wrong. Ageism right there.
Yeah, it sure was.
It really was. It was ableist.
You can't be putting the vets up to stuff like that, man. That's not how the pecking order goes. It goes the vets pull ribs on the greenies. You can't reverse the order.
That's right.
Chaos will reign. Cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
Yeah, and welcome to WWE Raw After Show. It's wrestling coverage on AfterBuzz TV. I'm Markia McCarty, and the first voice that you heard there was Hobo, the true Hobo.
Yeah, I wrestled this weekend and got a victory, picked up a few extra dollars. It was nice. When you wrestle a rich guy, sometimes he keeps money stuffed in his pockets. And as a guy whose name happens to be Hobo, he tries to bribe you, pulls it out, and says, hey, I'll give you some money if you just leave. And, well, I picked up a victory, so I got the winner's purse, and I picked up a few extra dollars because, well, hey, I take anything that falls in that ring's mine. I'm the winner.
It's not theft if you're a hobo.
No. It's charity.
Right.
He can write it off on his taxes.
And that other voice you hear in agreement with him is Mark Warzeka. You know him from Second City. He's a director of world-renowned, soon-to-be world-renowned, Mark Warzeka.
Guys, as you might be able to hear, I have a little bit of cold this week. Mm-hmm. But I said, Vince McMahon never gets sick, so I'm not going to be sick either. And I will be here at the show tonight, even with my cold. And, of course, I want to say, hey, you know, this is a tough day for us as a country. I want to say hi to everybody who's affected in Vegas, around Vegas, mm-hmm. or just have their thoughts on this thing as we do, this terrible tragedy that happened. I lived in Vegas. I used to work on the Strip in Vegas. I was just in Vegas 2 weeks ago for SmackDown.
I think everybody was just in Vegas.
I know, right?
That's kind of like everybody's bio.
And so it's on all of our minds. But I also want to say, like, a day like today makes me really grateful for wrestling, too, to have be able to have this escape of this world. And to be able to jump into this world of these stories and these characters and be here and talk about it tonight and have a little escape, I'm grateful for.
Yeah. Johnny Laquasto is not here tonight. He's stuck in the OC. It is a geographical location and a way of mind. It's a way of thinking.
It's like the La Brea Tar Pits, only it's orange.
Exactly.
And lots of khakis.
Yeah, but we will be bringing you Raw tonight. So we started off and we had...
Well, the start of the show.
Was their
Vegas tribute, which I think it was good of them to do.
Yes, I think it was very necessary.
The talent's favorite town to be in. Whenever they're going through, that's the party town. That's really a night of work and a night of play all at the same time. There's a lot of love for Las Vegas. Mm. And I think that everybody on the roster is going to come out and say that they hope that Las Vegas recovers as a whole very soon. So I think that was something that could be agreed upon really easily in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a friend that's getting married in Las Vegas on October 13th because she's that kind of person.
Yeah.
Which is a Friday, obviously. And she has been back and forth to Las Vegas, like making all of these arrangements and everything. And I was filled with terror once I heard about this.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, for obvious reasons, but also because it was like, wow, was she there that weekend? I mean,
right.
She loves country music.
Yeah. We're all checking on our people.
All of them.
Scary.
I know a lot of the boys working in Vegas, a lot of the wrestlers local to that part of the country.
Right.
And it's a scary thing. Because there's a lot of great talent and a lot of great guys out there, and you don't know who's taking that night and just taking it easy, going to an outdoor concert. And
I mean, that's just what it was. Yeah. It was the last night of just an outdoor concert.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not supposed to be anything supremely landmark, the last act of the last show.
Yeah. You know, I know when WWE goes through, like you said, Hobo, a lot of wrestlers like to go out and have fun, enjoy it. Some party, some show up at the Pinball Hall of Fame.
Like, that's right.
Like when Byron Saxton showed up there.
Exactly.
And Scott Narver and I were there 2 weeks ago after SmackDown. Yeah.
Everybody does Vegas in their own way.
We'll have our own way to enjoy it.
Vegas is there for everyone. That's right. For me, I love the deep fried Oreos in Old Vegas.
Nice.
I know. Take me, what, next to the Golden Nugget. Like, can't get enough. Yeah. But, yeah, going with Raw tonight, our first match of the show was Braun versus Rollins.
Straight into a match.
I mean, straight into it.
Almost never happens.
Yeah, and especially with this one. I mean, we just had Dean with Braun, and I particularly enjoyed that, and I want to see more of it. But this time we had a, strategist? For Rollins?
You can.
They were pitching it as say, such, so yeah, I'd have to agree.
You could say strategist or strategist.
Yes, whatever. Strategist, I shall say.
The strategist plays Stratego.
And there you go. Him versus Braun Strowman.
Yeah, Tony.
There we go. Tony's on it.
I was surprised this was the opener. I'm always surprised when they open with a match. I expect there's going to be talking for 25 minutes at the beginning of every show.
I don't think you can follow that Vegas thing with a whole lot of talking. You just got to go into it. Like, sure, it's a low note to have a moment of silence. It's a tough thing. But then it's like, well, now you can't have somebody come out and just start lambasting the crowd and starting to draw their ire. Let's just start with a wrestling match. Just get in there and mix it up, boys.
Absolutely. You need to start with action after that point. Yeah. We need that escape that Mark was talking about. And this was, I don't even know if this match was going to be the first one, but I'm glad that it was the first one. When you have the architect going up against this immovable, unstoppable force that is Braun Strowman at this point, then, you know, there's going to be some really great stuff that happens. But in the end, it's a running power slam of devastation. I'm sure that's what it's called now.
Sure.
Against Seth Rollins that ended up giving Braun Strowman the win. Were we surprised with this? How did you enjoy this match, fellas?
I would say that Rollins had a better chance in Denver, Colorado than he would have had at any other location. Denver, Colorado's Mile High City. Mm-hmm. The atmosphere is thinner, so it's harder to breathe. There was a couple of points during this match I saw on Braun Strowman's face. He was tired because he had to chase Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is able to dip and dodge and duck, and he's fast. Braun had to catch him, and that's a tough task in that thin atmosphere.
And Braun's even up higher. He's higher than Seth.
That's right.
He's got an extra atmosphere on Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm.
I liked the match. I thought it was a fun. Yeah. I thought it was a strong match. I was a bit surprised at the ending. I think Braun is being reestablished after his loss at to Brock Lesnar on the last pay per view at No Mercy. I think he's being reestablished. I will say I don't love that you're beating clean one of the current tag team champions in a singles match. It's not the worst thing in the world, but I don't love it. I'm interested. I mean, we'll see how this plays out, and I'd be interested to hear what you guys thought, too, as the show continues. It's clear the Shield is going to be reformed. It's not clear who the Shield's going to – it's not totally clear who they're going to be up against. And maybe Braun will be in that mix. I don't know. I thought when Dean interfered and then they all got into it that maybe Braun will somehow be in that mix. But we'll see.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think, like you said, it's a reestablishment time for Braun. And to have him go against the tag team champions doesn't necessarily make them look weak or make him look weak. It's they're a tag team, and they function better now as a tag team than they do singularly. And you can see that because they weren't, either of them, able to beat Braun Strowman. And Braun Strowman did not have an easy time beating them. So it's definitely something to see that they are now a tag team, and he's starting to inch his way back up. He's starting to force his way back into that title picture.
Yeah. So basically, after Braun Strowman, Rollins.
Yes.
Then Dean Ambrose shows up because it looks like Braun Strowman is going back for, I guess it would be course number four at that point, right? At the Seth Rollins buffet. And he tries to do the save. It does not work exactly the way that he thought that it would.
I think he fought him exactly how Dean Ambrose should fight a man that size. Take advantage and go low. You know, higher than the knee, lower than the waist type of area. It's a soft spot on all men, no matter how big or small they are.
Yeah, unfortunately, another running power slam kind of knocked all of the stuffing out of his defense. And, yeah, neutralizer, brogue kicks, it was what we thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
The bar-picking bones, you love them, you hate them, you hate to love them. This is what they do. They are great, they are terrible, and, yeah.
Yeah, they came out, of course, right after the match and attacked Rollins and Ambrose.
Yeah.
To continue.
Exactly.
This feud.
Cesaro got their licks in also. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was... When you were saying before about like, let's not even say if at this point, when they reunite the Shield, who will they be going up against?
Yeah.
I would like some kind of, I don't know, King of the Ring tag team type of thing that happens where you have... They don't have a name. Is it Ambrollins?
Yeah, Ambrollins, I think is what people were saying online. Yeah.
So Ambrollins.
In chat when we talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Just
yeah.
keeps on going up against tag teams that they throw out at them. So they go up against the Club. They go up against the Hardys. They go up against the Bar. And then we'll see whoever they throw out after that.
Like a long gauntlet match?
Yes.
Is that what you mean? Oh,
that's
wow.
what I want.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But at least those three opponents, those three teams against them, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, now definitely won't happen with the Hardys in the short term, at least.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, you know, just my two cents there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we did have a breast cancer awareness video package about unleashing your warrior.
Unleash your warrior,
unleash
everybody.
Unleash your warrior.
Be careful where you unleash your warrior.
Oh,
just gonna say that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seemed like a.
You don't want to get picked up unleashing your warrior on a public bus.
Right. No, you don't, hobo.
No.
Hobo,
oh,
you don't.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Like in public, just
there could
everywhere.
Be charges. There could
unleash
be charges if you unleash the warrior in the wrong place.
No. You don't have a warrior to unleash. You gotta be careful.
So we do have a backstage segment with Mickie James. She's walking down the hallway and, oh, there's some other wrestlers. Titter, titter. Oh, go check out the locker room. Go check out your dressing room. Oh, there's something for you there. And Mickie James walks into her dressing room and she sees, some Depends and a walker gift wrapped for her. Oh, I wonder who those could be from.
Has Mickie James turned into Mae Young? She's not. She's,
she's
not
really
an old
not.
Woman. She's not
she's
old.
She's really not.
She looks basically the same as what she looked like always. She still looks great. She's in great shape.
Yeah.
This just doesn't resonate with me.
When you're the oldest person in the locker room, you're old.
Oh, man.
The only reason you're saying that she's not old is because you're about the same age, and I'm sure you get the same amount of crap.
Oh,
you may
no.
not know you're always getting
well, no
it,
one's giving me.
They're back there, ma'am.
No one's giving me a walker and Depends yet.
Yet.
No one's done that here at After Buzz.
Wait for it. A couple of weeks from now, you're going to forget this conversation. It's going to be sitting on this desk, and that'll be a surprise.
Hey, Ensure is delicious and protein-filled. But yeah, no, of course she goes after Alexa, because obviously it's her. And Alexa says it, Mickey's too fragile and too mature for them to battle each other. Mm-hmm. But guess who will? Jax will do it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jax answered the door. I guess everything's hunky-dory between the champ and her large, large body.
What is going on here? I thought these two broke up. Did I miss? I'm watching this show every week.
I know.
Did I miss a part of the storyline here where they got back together again and became friends?
That's what frenemies do. They should have had a moment. They wasted it.
Absolutely.
Frenemies are always doing that. You got to keep up.
Oh.
It's like high school all over in this piece.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but we do have a match between Mickie James and Nia Jax later, so looking forward to that. So we have a little promo by Bray. Looks like, Looks like Bray's saying goodbye to sanity.
Yeah.
Now he's,
no, they're
rocking
on NXT. They're coming up soon. Yeah. They're the champs right now. So
nice. Yeah, he's rocking back and forth, saying, she's telling me to get rid of my bow and arrow, you know, and I've got to use my hands to fight the man. She's never let me down. She's never let me down.
Yeah.
He's like, clearly smoking something.
Yeah.
How can we get some of that, hobo?
The haze hanging in there. I have had it once or
have
twice.
You?
Yeah,
of course you have.
Those incidents of people eating other people. Not saying it was me. I'm saying I maybe knew that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's dangerous. You gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs, kids. Unless you're rich and famous, and then they give them to you for free.
I mean, he's talking about Sister Abigail, right?
Yeah,
I mean, she's apparently this demonic force that, I mean, we'll get more into it later, but somebody that's been kind of steering the ship for him or somewhat. I mean, and that's something that we'll approach later. Going into our next segment, The Drifter. It's just him. He's a man in the middle of a ring with a guitar. And a spotlight.
Yes.
In Denver, Colorado. Of course, he does what the Drifter does.
Mm-hmm.
And the hate is real for his song, bashing Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, I thought him being in Denver, he might have gotten his hands on that Denver green and chilled the heck out. But no, he did not. And he was pretty wound up with that crowd.
No, he did not. He laid it out for Denver, and they actually gave him a little more time than I expected them to. He got at least 1.5 to 2 verses in.
Mm-hmm.
And
one time, just to mess with him, they should tell him somebody's going to come out and not have anyone come out. He'll just have to make up
Let's
the rest of the
song.
Let's
see how long you actually got. Sing like, 2 songs tonight. We'll go 3 segments of you just singing just to mess with you.
Yeah, that actually would seem like a Vince McMahon thing to do, right?
Sing or swim, kids. Sing or swim.
Yep.
But yes, he's interrupted by Titus O'Neil. It's Titus O'Neil accompanied by Apollo Crews. But he's not really representing the Titus brand, it seems.
I hope not.
It's more like he's just about to beat some butt.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Elias Samson.
I hope he's not representing the Titus brand because he lost in like 3 minutes.
Yeah, he did. He lost
Stock
with
has
a drift
fallen.
Away. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very decisive.
What is Apollo?
It was very clear.
Apollo's out there watching the guy he's supposed to be following, right? Titus is supposed to be his leader, his manager, his mentor, his protege, and Apollo's watching this guy lose in 3 minutes.
And where's Tozawa?
Where is
Tozawa? Tozawa was involved, it may have been the deciding factor and changed the tide of how this match actually went. But no Tozawa. I think they're done. I think that's it. No explanation. Where's the explanation?
Nope.
Maybe it was
You're
on
right,
205 Mama. Live and we did not watch.
No, that might be true.
Oh, not our show.
That
okay.
That might have been it. Maybe that happened. They could have given us something if it did happen. On
a recap would be nice. They do a lot of those.
Something. So our next one is we have, it was short-lived. You didn't have to wait for it too long. It's Mickie James versus Nia Jax.
Right.
Yeah, and I will say that I wanted Mickie to out and out win this.
Yeah, I did too.
I kind of needed that, especially with Asuka coming with TLC, and that's happening October 22nd, and this is kind of like the run-up to that. I needed that to happen because I wanted Mickie James to be built up. I want her to win the belt. I want her to go versus Asuka. I want Asuka to get that belt off of her. And then I want Alexa to go into like a petty fest that just happens after that happens.
Yeah. Well, and also this match ended up being, as we saw later in the show, it ended up setting up a Mickie versus Alexa match for the title at TLC. So
yeah.
It seems like all the more reason for Mickie just to have won here.
Just let her win. The thing that ended up happening is that Mickie was going to win. She had covered Nia Jax.
But then she's too old. She's too old and her hips hurt and her back went out and she couldn't move.
Or Alexa, hit her and got the DQ. So
ignore that.
So then that happened.
She just couldn't keep that grip on those arthritic hands.
That's right. That's right.
That's what it was.
So, I mean, she wins by disqualification, but yeah, I kind of
just
needed that 3.
Me too.
I needed that pinfall.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get it. And that's the beauty of Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss is the kind of person that is never going to give you what you want ever. And that's part of the appeal. is that she'll get you so close to what you want and just edge it back. And she's absolutely hated for doing that over and over again. It's like a signature. She won't ever lose the way you want her to. She'll never win the way that's anywhere near what it should be. She's terrible. She is the antithesis of anybody who you should actually like, and that makes her somewhat respectable a little bit. But yeah, everybody hates her. Period. End of story.
And then we have a interview backstage with Mickie James, mm-hmm. you know, about all the things that an old lady can do. Right. And yes, we have that title match that is set by Kurt Angle. Mickie James is extremely excited. Did anybody know the commentator that was with her, the interview?
Charlie Caruso.
That was that?
That was Charlie.
She looked so different. She looked so much taller.
She was wearing the Colonel's shirt and tie.
The Colonel.
She looked so different. I did not recognize her.
Yeah.
They're always trying to work in that KFC stuff they into are. The show.
Yeah. Maybe that was it. I was just focused on the Colonel's shirt.
On that one.
Nice. Okay. Well, yeah. And we have a title match that's going to be happening at TLC. So, and then also with that, this little segment where Matt Hardy with the club in the locker room where they discussed the whole concept of why the club is going around just calling people
nerds.
So, I was like, so just a little bit of a backstory.
I was really wondering why. So, thank God they addressed this.
I'm glad they did, since, you know, we really wanted to know why Jason Jordan and Dean Ambrose and everybody were considered nerds.
I've been thinking about it all week.
I know. It was just one of those things. But that does bring us to the only tag team match that we have in the night?
No, there's a women's tag.
We have the women's tag. But for right now, I mean, it's Jason Jordan and Matt Hardy versus the club.
Yeah.
So that means it's a tag team match. You know it's the Matt Militant. Coming to get it on. Yeah, Mark and Hobo getting into that. Even Tony was feeling it. He jumped in on that. Yeah, I mean, I would think that Mark, you would in particular enjoy this tag team, if only because Jason Jordan did not win.
Well, yeah,
not win.
Poor Matt Hardy had to go from teaming with his world champion level brother to this complete loser, Jason Jordan, who loses all the time. And he didn't. He didn't lose the pinfall today, but where was he to save Matt Hardy when Matt Hardy was being pinned? Nowhere to be found. Laying on the outside, staring up at the lights, thinking about how he'll never be as good as his father.
He got thrown into the barricade. Man. I can't even fault him for that. It's not like he took a walk. He got thrown in by Carl.
Kurt Angle would have got up for that and saved his partner.
Oh,
you'll never be as good as your father, kid.
Maybe it's
you're a loser.
Maybe it's the new gear. The new gear's throwing him off. When did he switch to shorts? When I last saw him, it was a singlet. I wasn't here last week. Was it last week or was it this week? Green shorts.
this week, maybe.
Yeah, I think it had to be this week. I believe he was still in the singlet last week.
Yeah,
did he do beast mode last week? Oh, goodness.
So now he can't do the beast mode because he's wearing shorts. How are you supposed to do that? Invisible suspenders!
It'll be more of like a brush off, but both shoulders before he goes into beast mode.
Still doesn't work. Yeah. Just not as impactful as dropping the straps.
Yeah, well, for the ending, the club wins with the Magic Killer on Matt Hardy, because yes, Jason Jordan was out of the ring and out in general.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good match. You can't say.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
He didn't actually.
Thank you, Mark.
Fine, it wasn't bad.
He was good in the match, but the problem is a question of cohesion. Jordan and Hardy don't know what they're doing. They were tagged together in just the two of them before. They don't know how to create the cohesion. The club are just, they're almost two bodies with the same brain. So yeah, the club won. I'm kind of glad they did. If they weren't able to win this match, it would have hurt them. I mean, not really, because they don't care, but it wouldn't have been good, that's for sure.
And they need a win. They don't get enough wins on Raw. I'm glad the club won.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to give the heels some wins, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to the club. I mean, it's a long time from eggs in a jar type of the club, and they've been doing some good work. So, yeah, I was okay with them having this win. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for me that it was Jason Jordan, whatever, kid. But it was just, I was okay with this, mm-hmm. especially since the other Hardy won. So.
The other Hardy.
The other Hardy. That's like a horrible thing to say. I'm gonna use that more
There's
often.
There's Jeff and the other one.
There's Jeff and the wait, Matt and the other Hardy.
Oh, Matt and the other one. I guess everybody's got a favorite.
Yep.
Everybody's got another one.
Then, so yeah. Next up, we visit Enzo Amore backstage, mm-hmm. and it just basically turns out that he's going to address the cruiserweights again tonight. It will be the main event. So. It was a very succinct mm-hmm. interview, let's say that.
He was saving it all for later.
He really was.
Yeah.
This is the most quiet that Enzo has been since he was knocked unconscious backstage.
Yeah.
I think he had his heart broke a little bit last week. Aww. When every single person on the cruiserweight roster beat the tar out of him. I mean, without exception, good guy, bad guy, even TJ got in on it. No, for crying out loud, TJ. Mm. I mean, I think he's just realized that he has got no friends in this division. Nobody's got his back, and it's sort of brought around what the segment tonight was a little bit later on.
Yeah, I think he realized, absolutely.
I got nobody. I got nothing. So forget all you.
Hey, there's no use closing the barn because the horses have already left.
The warrior has been unleashed.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Wow. And then we have a backstage segment with Roman Reigns. You know, he's getting ready. He's strapping on his gear, you know.
The way he's winching it. I swear it looked like a bustier. Like,
what? The face that Hobo is making right now.
Tight, man.
Goodness.
Who are you trying to impress?
Vince McMahon.
he would like that. He's
basically saying that he's not surprised that the buckler. Yeah, he's not surprised that the buckler got, you know, devastated by a Cesaro. And, you know, he kind of kicked in Cesaro's teeth, so that's a thing that happened. Or, I'm sorry, kicked them up.
Right.
So, yeah, and he basically says, oh, I'm fighting The Miz, I'm going to break his jaw, I'm leaving with the title.
Yeah. I like that we got a moment with Roman where he said, I want to be Intercontinental Champion. I want to leave here with that title tonight. I think that was nice to hear that from him, that he cares about that title, because he's always in the world title hunt, right? Mm-hmm. But to hear that he would want that title too, I think was good to set up the match.
Yeah, a title is a title. And, you know, Intercontinental means something. It means something. So, I mean, we don't need John Cena back on here to tell him, hey, this isn't a demotion for you to have this Intercontinental title. This is something big. And Miz makes it mean something because he's the Miz.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one of those things. And then we have another Breast Cancer Awareness Month video package. And that goes into our segue with Dana Warrior. Yeah. And we have her live in the ring. And this was actually pretty touching. I've never had to battle with this personally, and I haven't had any close family members that have, but God knows it's everywhere. And I'm glad that there is just this huge support system for women that are going with this, women and their families, and men and their families. Just because it's breast cancer doesn't mean it only happens to women.
Right.
Yeah. Chest cancer. They just call it that. And I really loved how this segment ended when they were just rattling those ropes together. That really got me. That got me in my childhood.
Man, I was going to rip on this segment, but now I can't after you said all
no,
that, Markia.
Oh, no, sorry.
Now I'm too moved and touched.
I mean, it was really touching seeing the majority of the female talent in the ring as well, celebrating that these women are survivors.
Yeah.
You can't rip on cancer. Nobody F's with cancer.
I like that they're doing this stuff. I like that they're doing the Connor's Cure stuff. I feel like they're doing more of this kind of charity work now than they ever have. And I'm glad that they are. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, strength, it's boldness. Yeah. I mean, it's, you have to, if at the very bottom, you empathize.
Yeah. And very I know sometimes people are cynical and it's like, ah, oh, they're a corporation. They're doing it for PR. They're doing, even if they are, who cares? Who cares?
It's
still
awareness.
They're still doing great things. They're still raising money for these charities, mm-hmm. and good for them.
Yeah. Coming back from the commercial, so we have Miz and the Mizrage, and they're just doing things S.H.I.E.L.D. style.
Yeah.
It's just, okay.
Teasing us.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I was on board with this because I like this. I like this sassiness that's coming from all of them. So it's like, yeah, go ahead and make it from the stairs with us. I love that. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's Reigns. Reigns versus the Mizrage. And, he cleans house to then be able to go after the Miz. How did y'all feel about this?
There were a couple of times during this match I really did think Roman Reigns had it. Because
mm-hmm.
he was able to eliminate the Mizrage right off the bat. And I mean, really, eliminate with extreme prejudice. Like, they're not coming back. He wanted to make darn sure, and he did, because the match hadn't even started yet.
Right.
So he could do whatever he wanted. Carte blanche. Grab a chair. Go to town. Who cares? And then he had the Miz all to himself. The Miz was able to maintain control, but without having the Mizrage at ringside, he was exposed. Really exposed. So I thought that Reigns actually might put it away tonight. Didn't exactly happen that way, but I think he came closer than anybody has in a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with everything Hobo just said so well, and I really liked the whole I liked all of this from Mizrage's entrance all the way through to the end. I thought this was a really good stuff. Everybody was great at what they were doing, and for me, when they present Roman Reigns in this way, like we saw him tonight, where he's just really focused and he's kind of a badass and he's taking care of business, I think that's the best presentation of him. I think that's what he is the best at doing as a performer, and I think that's when that character really clicks, when he doesn't have to be out there trading lame jokes with John Cena or smiling like he's a, you know, a 80s WWF, you know, champion. Like, when he's out there being this guy, this is what he's best at, and this is when it connects, I think.
Yeah.
I think there was something for everybody in this. Starting with Roman Reigns, the S.H.I.E.L.D. entrance by Mizrage, to Roman Reigns taking out the Mizrage, Roman Reigns grabbing that steel chair. I am such a sucker for anyone going underneath the ring for anything.
You and like it when that
I
happens?
I love that. What? I live for that.
What
I want,
do you like
I want the
about
women,
it? So
because I like the mystery of it. The mystery of this weapon is coming out, and I don't even know what's coming out
underneath. But we kind of know. There's only like four things. It's the kendo stick.
Sometimes it's a fire extinguisher, and you can't say it isn't.
That's right. True. You're right.
You don't know what it is, but it's going to be bad.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I dig it.
You have that, and then you have the fight between Reigns and the Miz, and that's really good, and it looks like Reigns is going to do it, but then Cesaro comes out of nowhere, and then they just, like, street kick him against the barrier, and I loved it.
Yeah.
It was great. It was something for everyone. Whether you loved or hated Roman, you got everything that you wanted tonight.
And back to what I was saying earlier about who does the S.H.I.E.L.D. end up facing, it did seem at the end of this segment that maybe the S.H.I.E.L.D. ends up facing Miz, Cesaro, and Sheamus.
Yeah, because...
I mean, they were all together with the S.H.I.E.L.D. post at the end of this,
indeed.
Right?
In fact, they... after, you know, Reigns actually wins by disqualification, you know, that happened. But he does get a triple power slam.
Yeah.
Power bomb, thank you, from all three of them.
S.H.I.E.L.D. style.
And
S.H.I.E.L.D.
style. Miz being in the Roman Reigns position on the triple power bomb was a special little screw you to the man. Because he could barely hold him. You saw Cesaro and Sheamus on either side having to hold Reigns because you could see his knees buckling under him because he couldn't hold Reigns' weight. If it weren't for them, he couldn't even powerbomb him. It was just that little extra screw you. Oh, so sweet.
Man, it was nice. It was really good. I liked it. I think out of everything, this was probably my favorite. Mickie James one was close if she had won. Remember. But her versus Asuka is going to be That's going to be money.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Finn Balor, and he's coming, and he's making entrance. But, of course, Bray Wyatt. Oh, that happened. Oh, this is weird. I mean, Finn had a lot to say about Bray, and then Bray interrupts. Some of the stuff that Finn had to say, that he may call himself a god, mm-hmm. the eater of worlds. But, you know, Finn sees him for what he really is, a coward.
Yeah.
But I didn't hear a word he had to say, quite frankly.
Really?
I just get lost in those blue eyes, and I just can't hear.
Oh, I get lost in that accent.
It's
this whirring noise,
and I just get weak.
He said something like, he was like, Bray, I can't decipher everything you're saying all the time, or something like that. And I was like, yeah, no, neither can we.
Not alone. He's the everyman in that way.
Yep.
We don't know what he's saying either.
Nope.
Yeah. But basically, it's like, yeah, don't sing it, bring it.
Mm-hmm.
And, and then we have Bray interrupts. And Bray is, can I say he's off his rocker? Because he is.
Pun intended.
Pun intended. We get more of the same, you know, rocking in the smoking room, you know, about her never lying to him. But Finn did. She warned him about people like Finn and on. I mean, this, I like this little promo. This was like one of those, these were one of the movies that you watch on Netflix when it's like 2 a.m. and you just want a nice little horror movie, and it's like a low budget horror.
Right. And you've been enjoying some of the same substances that Bray's been enjoying tonight.
Yeah. more than likely. So show your true face and he'll do the same. And what did y'all think about what happened?
I don't know.
What did you think about it?
I don't know what did you think about it.
I think you literally said it all when you said low budget horror movie.
Yeah,
I think
right.
you really hit the nail right on the head. Mm-hmm. This better have way better execution than it did tonight. Because that was some yep. Yeti quality BS I saw in there. That was, oh man, what is this? The Dungeon of Doom? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Basically, it looks like Bray has become a version of either the demon or a demon.
Or is he becoming Sister Abigail? Is his alter ego going to be Sister Abigail and she's a demon?
I always wanted to see.
That's why he went after Gold Dust. He's a she, she's a he. She. Oh, God.
Or Sister Abigail is going to be Luke Harper in a wig. I mean, he's not doing anything now. Why not?
Yeah. I hope it's an Annie wig.
Yeah,
great. Well, sure.
We have that. So Sister Abigail is either going to be manifested in some way. So
it
that's
seemed
happening.
Like, yeah, it seemed, they've teased Sister Abigail before, but this seems like it's actually going down this time,
yeah.
one way or another.
So and then we have Alicia Fox and Emma versus Bayley and Sasha Banks. So, yeah. So with this, it was, you never doubted who would actually win for this tag team. I would have liked there to be more of a surprise on my part. But I did enjoy that Emma was just, she did a screw you, I'm out, this isn't happening. After Alicia Fox basically got catapulted into Emma in the corner and knocked her out. And then once Foxy wanted to get the tag, and then Emma's like, nah, I'm good. I'm gone. I'm gone.
Uh-huh.
I'm good.
She's got to go tweet.
Yeah, and then Bailey to Belly ends it for Foxy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what did y'all think about this segment?
I thought it was interesting that Emma left, but here's the problem I have. When the legal person makes contact with the illegal person on the outside when they are holding onto the tag rope, that's a tag.
Mm-hmm.
So Emma was legal.
Counted out. Should have been counted out.
Oh.
But Alicia Fox was on the inside. Alicia Fox got pinned. Alicia Fox went for the tag, and Emma pulled it away when Emma actually should have been the one who got tagged in.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, is an error on the referee's part, and I just have a problem with that. As a wrestler, as a former tag team champion, I just have to look at that and go, what is this ref doing?
Right.
That's a tag. That's a tag.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Whatever. That's, whatever.
Ugh.
Can't disagree with you, Hobo.
Yeah.
The rules
yeah.
are the rules.
Yeah, that's like nails on a chalkboard, you know?
Yes. It's hard. Sometimes watching wrestling is tough when you've been doing it for a while, and you go, "Oh, well, that was dumb."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Tony, thank you for the time, but we got into studio about 5 minutes late, so we still have 5 minutes to go. So we're on our last segment for WWE Raw for October 2nd, and I really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
I have to say, I love what they are doing with Enzo right now.
Me too.
I really enjoy it. It's basically, I want to hire him to roast me for my birthday at this point. Because it is that well done.
I didn't know how badly I wanted heel Enzo. Like, yes! I had no idea. Like, I never thought, like, man, this guy would just kill it as a heel. I love it. I love him. I love the whole storyline. They've done it last week and this week in the essentially the main event segment of him versus the cruiserweight division and roasting them and them hating that he's the champion. I think the whole thing is great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he basically goes into this whole thing where he made 205 relevant. We know this. Like, 2 weeks in a row, they've been the main event. And, well, basically, the 205 locker room is around the ring. And Enzo takes his time going through basically each of them.
Because they can't touch him. And he made that perfectly clear. You touch me, you're out on the street. You go take a walk. That's, wow. I mean, to give, I understand from a certain angle why the GM gave him this kind of power because he really is alone, but you can watch him now abuse that power and use it against everybody else, and I it just shows how power corrupts. And I think Enzo, as much as everybody really enjoys him, is not immune from being corrupted by a little bit of power.
Oh, yeah, no. Most definitely. In fact, he holds his little bit of power right in front of his face. It's like his claws, his no-contact claws, for everybody in the cruiserweight division. So they can't touch him, and he's particularly flaunting that in front of Neville. In fact, one of the things that he said before the cruiserweights came out is that he was going to knock the macadamia nut out of that Keebler elf.
Yeah.
That came to Neville.
He called Brian Kendrick a hobo.
That was
not an accident. Let me just say that was not an accident.
And then he didn't have anything to say about Tozawa, though, because Tozawa was nice to him on Twitter.
Yeah.
So just he let that go.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was a Alexander? He was like, what size is that scuba shirt that you're wearing? A medium? So many fun. I mean, watch this segment. This segment is well worth watching. But
he's the most dangerous on the mic. Oh. Without a question, everything he said tonight was true. Everything. That makes him so dangerous. Because you can disagree with his opinion, but you can't disagree with the fact that he's bringing it. He's really brought up 205 Live.
It's made me interested enough to watch it.
Well, right? There's a nugget of truth in the stuff that he's saying, which is part of what works about it.
Right?
Is that 205 Live hasn't felt very relevant, and since he's on it and at the top of it, it does feel more relevant.
Doesn't
and that's part of what works about all this.
And then there's another thing that even makes it feel more relevant. Kurt Angle comes out, you know, his music drops, and he goes, "You know what? You're right. Everybody right now on the 205 Live division cannot be touched by you," which is a great thing because I just signed somebody.
Yeah.
In fact, he can come out right now and Kalisto's music hits.
Well.
Kalisto. Well, we knew that this was going to happen. Come on. We knew he was going to 205 Live.
They could have brought somebody up from NXT to fill that position to create a lot of buzz.
Right.
They didn't do that. They decided to bring Kalisto in. Super solid, but not a buzzworthy guy, because everybody has seen what Kalisto's capable of. Not that it isn't good, but it's very good. It's just not exactly the freshest thing out of the oven right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they set that up for a big moment. Somebody in chat saying, would have been nice for that to be Rey Mysterio in that spot. I think that's a good idea.
Oh, that's a good grab. But Kalisto, that's a good one.
I mean, everybody's been saying all along since 205 Live was formed, Kalisto should be on 205 Live. Everyone's been saying
Kalisto.
That. But in the meantime, I do too. But in the meantime, while he's not been on 205 Live, you know, he's been put in, he's been on the bottom of the card, basically, on the Raw roster this whole time.
Yeah.
So just to all of a sudden jump from where he's been to we should be excited about him being the guy to take down Enzo just felt a little flat. It's not his fault. He's a great talent.
Yeah,
he just wasn't positioned well in this thing.
He took out Enzo like we wanted him to. Salida de Sol for the win, you know?
Yeah.
I think you explained it perfectly.
But yes.
That's why people didn't care. It makes 205 look like it's below Raw.
Right.
So now he's a big deal because he wrestled the big boys on Raw. So could anybody else? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. That is exactly why this didn't work. Damn. Mm. Boy, they really did not understand what they were doing.
Yeah.
That's tough. Better luck next time.
Yeah. And then, you know, possible Shield reunion. So that's possible thing after
this. When they showed up to meet Roman at the end, I thought Roman should have said, hey, where were you guys when I was getting the crap beat out of me earlier in the show?
Yeah, but it's like,
apparently he was cool with it.
It's like, y'all are there for each other, and I'm just I'm just the guy. Out there alone in my yard.
Nobody gonna help me? Nobody's gonna help me.
No one's gonna help me. Any other thoughts about Raw, I mean, in general for this one? We're revving up for TLC, but we're not there yet.
No, yeah, a few weeks to go.
All right, so Mark, put yourself over.
Well, you know what I want to mention is that next weekend, this coming weekend, I will be in my hometown of Detroit all weekend. CW show and convention all day Saturday in Detroit at Cobo Hall. I'll be working on that show. Come see us there. A lot of great talent going to be coming in. It's going to be the biggest independent show in Detroit in like 35 years. It's a really huge event. So come by if you can. And then the next day, I'll be at the very first ever WWE show at the brand new Little Caesars Arena.
Ooh.
Hell in a Cell. So if you're going to be at either, tweet at me. I mentioned this on the show last week, and a lot of folks tweeted me and said they were going to be there. So tweet at me, say hey, and maybe we can meet up with one of these things and say hello.
Nice. Yeah. Hobo.
That's cool. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at True Hobo this weekend. I'll be wrestling at Maverick Pro Wrestling's Monster Mash. I'll be wrestling a gentleman named J.J. King. He's a tall drink of water, but that doesn't mean I am in any way, shape, or form moved by his name being dropped. I am the quintessential West Coast wrestler. I am the hobo. I'm the Iron Vagabond. I'm the Boxcar Superstar. If you think you can pull one over on me, you are sadly mistaken. I am a monster, no matter what stature I am. You're going to learn the hard way.
And I'm Markeia McCarty. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Markeia McCarty, MarkeiaMccarty. Tomorrow will be Marvel movie news. We'll be doing the Inhumans premiere and then also the Gifted premiere drop tonight. All Marvel related. All will be on the show. And then there's a little bit of Black Panther news that I'm going to be happy to share with you. So that'll be tomorrow at 2 p.m. on Popcorn Talk. But thank you for joining us right here. And we hope to see you next Monday at 9 p.m. for more wrestling coverage for WWE Raw.
Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.